All righty, welcome both from phone receivers and from here. I want to encourage you today as we're standing here together. Those at home, I want to encourage you today as we're standing here together. A couple things I want to get into today, and this is a message that I don't know if I preached it before. I didn't go to an old message, but I wanted to talk about living waters. I wanted to talk about the ability of living waters to come out of your being and just the power that they can do. I don't know how many of you as believers have ever been outnumbered. And what I mean when I say outnumbered, you're in a situation where you are physically the minority, okay? The reality, and the devil knows this, even as I speak this morning, that how many can two believers put to flight? 10,000. That is a scripture we read in the Old Testament, and quite frankly, the power of it you don't just see in certain battle sequences in the Old Testament, but I believe there's a prophetic parallel that it's drawing, and that when life comes out of a believer, and we're going to talk about waters of life, that we have a God-given, God-given inheritance. And it's in our DNA. One believer can outnumber 50 dark people. I have personally testified to this, that I have seen it in my own life, and I have seen even me, up against it in situations where there was the demonic, there was the dark, and I was able to see to put still entire households, because Jesus said that a spring would be caused to come out of me. And this isn't a pep talk today. This isn't about making you feel better about, you know, my bad situation, whatever situation you're in. There is a stark raving reality that God issues life and he wants to bring it out of your being, and it does change things. So I want to talk about that, because let's be honest, there are theoreticals in that. There are people that, you understand what I'm saying, theoretically you're this, the scripture says, theoretically you're that, the scripture says, and the scripture makes the truth. But let's be honest, the reason you could preach this all the time is because why are so many believers walking around seeming so empty? It defies the truth. It defies our very DNA. But every Christian I've ever known has been there. So the reason I emphasize it today, because this is something the Lord has been laying on my heart about living waters coming out of our being. You are a source. Now, just like when you look for your glasses on your head, if I look for a source outside of myself and I run around and the source is inside me, it gets to be a hard, tedious journey, because what I'm looking for, God wishes to well up in my very being. And one thing I know about waters and living waters, I've seen one believer change so many things by that outflow. I've seen believers take pagan surroundings, disharmony, to the demonic, and see with the waters coming out of them, change entire situations. So my encouragement to you today is you are the source. You are the source. God, when you got born again, seeded a wellspring in you that he wishes to bubble up and come out of him. And I've said this before, the life he wishes to come out of you is none other than the very river coming out from the throne of the Lamb. This is reality. God wants to make a manifestation of this thing, and he wants you to understand it. Now, and I want to tell you something. The very fact that we are promised such a thing tells that we will be a feeding trough. But there's river to river, one believer that has an outflow, speaking into another believer that has an outflow, and there's a great benefit to that. But I was sharing with a good brother, man of God, a friend. I said, but if your river is stunted and you don't believe it, you're going to be able to get off the river of another person and you'll feel the feed, but it will not benefit you in the way that if your river was flowing out of your being would affect you. So what we have, and even in a lot of, you know, televangelists, and a lot of people even kind of teach, you know, I'm a well and you're not a well, and come to my well and send me $20, you know what I'm saying? But the truth is, I'm a well, you're a well, we're a cistern, you're a cistern, we have well springs in us that is meant. In fact, the way God intended us to pour into each other is the term pouring into each other. Now, in the world, though, we are dealing with wells of darkness. So when we do pour out in the world, it is a different dynamic. But I want to give you that if two can put 10,000 to flight, and we see the battles of the Lord in the physical, we have to understand as that river comes out of our being, that is coming out from under the throne of the Lamb and of the Father. This is Zoe, they call it, is life. And it is strong. But again, what you don't know will hurt you, what you don't believe will hurt you. And I want to read just a couple of scriptures today, 4:7 in John, the Gospel of John, 4:7. We're going to read the woman at the well. And I've read this 1,000 times, so have you. I'm sure any believer hearing my voice will say I've read this so many times, and it's such an amazing thing. But I got to be honest, how many times have we read this scripture, but we didn't necessarily see or even believe the evidence of wellspring of that literal divine river flowing out of our being? Let me tell you something about the truths of the scripture, too, as we're reading this morning. The truths of the scripture, the truths of the scripture come into your life, and you hear them with your ears. You may even say you believe them in your heart, but the manifestation in your life is supposed to increase. And there is no truth that I have read for decades that hasn't gotten stronger and filled out more as I grew every year in the Lord. There's no scripture. We might know the scripture, but the depth of the manifestation of any scripture you read, there are so many levels of manifestation in your life and so many levels of maturity, and that one truth will speak to your entire life because it will be your entire life that is growing in you. But John 4:7 goes, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples have gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Here's the process. Give me a drink. Verse 10. Give me a drink. We have to know that there needs to be a thirst in us. Now, here's the interesting thing. Somebody once asked me, if God fills us with such abundance, why would you be thirsty? And one of the simple answers, and it's biblical, theological, is a wellspring has to have a feeding source and also has to run out. One of the reasons for repetitive thirst is because we are a wellspring. And we need to lean on the living waters. And as we desire those waters to come into our life, God wants them to flow back out. There will always be a need to say, give me a drink, Father. When you come to a stream that is running, and I've been in Colorado, I've been in Wyoming, heck, I've sat in streams that were so crystal clear, I actually drank out of the streams. They were that clear, and they were cold. They were actually chilled. And that water that I'm putting in my hands is running from somewhere, and I take a bit up with my hands, but also the water I did pick up runs down to benefit other people. And there's a constant inflow and a need for a constant outflow. So if God wants me to be a source, well, two things. I'm going to the source. I'm thirsting for the water. Listen, one thing that struck me this morning when we were just singing some songs is people get so religious because many Christians even view religious, you know, being with the Lord and worship, they view it as a chore. They will actually value many more things to get them excited, but not the waters of God. And I know that God in this era wants to break people of that spirit of religion, because I don't worship because I'm supposed to. I don't worship because I need to, because that's what Christians do. It's part of my DNA. I hunger for waters because I've been created to be a wellspring. I've been created to be an outflow. I've been created to be a source, and it is only a natural thirst that we start saying, give me a drink, give me a drink. But it's important to mention, as I say, give me a drink, Father, that I'm going to be able to pour back out. I mean, I see Christians all the time, they're a wellspring. Yet they walk around unfulfilled, they walk around bored, they walk around thinking they need something else to hit them. What does that mean? When God wants you to directly connect with Him, He wants that river of life from under the throne. It actually flows into your being. This is not figurative. This is not imaginary. It's not metaphorical. The river of God wants to come from under the throne, and it is already hitting your being. Now, I do believe we can stop it up, because one thing I told you is there's many truths that are biblically true for us. They're inherited. It's in our DNA. But we don't take advantage of them. We walk in a state of unbelief. And then many times we seek out waters that have nothing to do with the river. We seek life from things sometimes that are even dark or things that don't have real water. But we'll do it. You know how much Christians spend their time trying to fill a void that's actually not a void but supposed to be a source? Now, I don't say this to anybody's shame, because I think every believer has been in this place. But do you know how many times people try to fill a void and you don't have a void? I remember the old hole in the heart example when I'd be witnessing to people. But when you get born again, you are a wellspring now. You're no longer a void. There's not a hole in your heart. And the question that we have to ask is, we go, okay, there's no hole in your heart. But a lot of Christians walk around like they got a hole in their heart, like they're lacking something. All of us have been there, and all of us have drank false water, have chased water somewhere else because we're just not feeling it, blah, 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 blah. But the reality for us is that is not true. I love this, because Jesus said, hey, everyone who drinks of the water, but here's the other thing. We got to say, give me a drink, Father. We also have to drink of that water for it to flow. If you don't take it in, it doesn't flow. Now, a lot of Christians really have an imagination more of you see the water towers, Park Forest, Richland Park, whatever's in this metropolitan area, and they believe they're more like water towers, meaning there's the only water, but they're going to store it. They're not going to pour it out. They're trying to hang on to their water. In fact, God many times comes down with an anointing, and that water flows into your being purposely for you to be a source to someone else. There is a water I enjoy for Mike Cipella, Pastor Mike. There's also many times an inpouring to me that I'm going to outpour to others. Even when you're teaching the scripture, and I don't want to say even, that's a bad word, but when you are teaching the scripture, think about this, guys. When you are teaching the scripture, if you're listening to the Lord and He's speaking through you, again, the real power of the scripture doesn't come from analysis. It doesn't come from being a knowledge nerd. Really, the power even in the word is that it comes from the river, and the river flows in and the river flows out of me, and we expel water. In fact, I want to say this too. As the things come into you and you pour them back out, and it's all from the Spirit of God and the river under the throne, you will say, I need more water. In fact, isn't it true that only when a river is flowing does the water has to keep feeding it, because the river keeps flowing? And I've been in the Colorado River, I've been in the Rapids, I've seen all kinds of stuff. But if you were to stop the source to it, it would dry up immediately. Isn't it interesting? If you were to put a dam and stop the water and have to make it run off somewhere else, it'd be bone dry. And it'd be bone dry quick. Give me a drink. Lord, give me a drink. I want a drink of the water, because when I drink of the water, number one, I will never thirst again. Now you go, well, why do we pray that we want more water if you'll never thirst again? Really, the thirst we're talking about here is it's a fullness in the life. It doesn't mean we don't want to drink no more, but we're no longer parched and we're no longer saying, I'm so dry in my mouth. There's thirsting and then there's thirsting. But you have to understand how this works. Now, there is a list of things that can be false waters, but I want to make a disclaimer. I'm going to name things on the list that aren't necessarily evil, but if you use them to fill you in the place where only God can fill you, they become a complete stumbling block to water flow. Obviously, let's get into them, but I make a disclaimer. There's many things we do, they're okay as long as we're not trying to fill our spirit with those things, and we're using those to fill some kind of emptiness that only the water of God can really fill. Media is a huge thing. Media is a huge thing. Entertainment, idols, there's many idols. Even idle time can, you know, be a source that blocks water. Bad relationships. Relationships can be a tricky thing. The philosophies of men. If we get into the philosophies of men, many times we get into a really bad deal. The words of others can also, we can allow ourselves to be spoken into in the worst possible way. Think about this. We can allow ourselves to be poured into by the words of others, by the words of demons. You can be by the words of gossip, by the words of slander. There are things that we let flow into our being. But one of the things that is big in America is kind of this idol shutdown, where we're taking things in and our brain doesn't have to engage at all. We can just view things. We can read things. And like I said, the thing where God wants to fill with water, that which only the water from His throne can fill. But I want you to understand, and in a lot of what we're doing is I call it drought and famine in the land of God. And many times, like I said, Christians, God wants to cause a water source to flow out of them. They keep trying to draw in other rivers, which God wants to bless you. He's going to use me to pour into you today. And I pray that He uses you to pour into another. But there is a difference when I am a source and I'm grabbing sources than when I don't believe I have anything and you have to pour into me because I'm dying of thirst. The very fact that you are a cistern or a well means you're good for other people. But the reality of the river within flowing out also means that you have to have it and it needs to be made manifest in your life. But it's supernatural feeding that we have to go through, and this is really important. So I made a little list. There's a lot of things that block people, and there's also a lot of false waters that are not water at all. They're not really water. They appear to be a feeding source. There are wells people run to and depend upon that are no wells at all, but we've got to drink. Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, he was saying, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. So there is a contentment and a fullness in the water of God. There's a difference. Everybody remembers when you were a sinner. You filled your life all the time. You sought things out all the time. Why? Because you were trying to fill a spot in yourself. You were trying to take something in that made you happy. You were viewing something. You were listening to something. You were hanging with friends. We do all these things for source. But in the Lord, I mean, what I love, one thing about Jesus, He is sufficient. But again, He really is. But again, many Christians are lacking and empty and hollow. And it doesn't match with the truth. But will you take the time to drink? Will you take the time to say, give me a drink? Will you stop filling yourself with things that are contradictory to the very water God wants to put in? Compromise also can be a real booger when it comes to water flow. I want you to become a well of water. Actually, I don't want you to become. This is what God has made you, to springing, that the water springs up to eternal life. Think about this. You as a believer, if you allow the flow, because I have to be getting water from the Father. If I'm not really paying attention to it, I'm not really knowing how I'm designed, so I can sit in the midst. And, you know, there's a verse that says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And a lot of that even deals with flow. I don't care if you're around 10 sinners. If you actually understand the flow of water and the source that you are, you can change atmospheres. Now, I want to put something in this, though. I've seen people that outflow, and they're in dark situations, and the demonic elements in the situation can't bear what's coming out of them. But in those situations, people either get one or get out. I've seen it. People either get one or they get out. Is there something you can do? There's two sources that I believe have a lot to do with water flow too, worship and prayer. I really believe when we take time with worship and we take time with prayer, I actually believe that it feeds. It's where we start paying attention to the river. When you seek the Lord, you put everything down. And I want to say this too. When we come into service, when you come into a church service, I think it's really important your focus starts shifting. When I'm sitting there as a pastor, I honestly want people to pay attention even before we start. One of the reasons I believe when we have a pre-prayer here, and it's a really good thing, is because you start zeroing into water flow. You start getting into looking to God as the source to fill you up. And I think it's important. One thing I don't like is many times I've been in so many churches and people are so disengaged until the worship starts. They're disengaged. Their minds are on secular things, worldly things. They're disengaged. And then you start worshiping and people are starting at a deficit. They're not starting to worship. They're all wrapped up in some worldly thing. It may not be a sinful thing, but it's still something that's other than anything to do with the throne of God and the outflow from under the throne. But you are a source, and I've seen the darkest atmospheres changed. Now, you might say today, I flow, but there's a demoniac in my house that reacts to when I flow, and that can happen. But I will tell you something. Greater is he that is in you than all that is in the world. Not just he that is in the world. In fact, that verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, I want you to think about something. You might go, well, greater is Jesus in me than the devil himself. But this goes wider. Greater is he that is in you than he that influences the entire world system. So that means even numerically, the Christian has an ability to win over a situation, to overpower a situation if he only understood it. But it's interesting because faith couples in this. Do you believe what you are? That's a big thing. Do you believe what you are no matter what you see? Do you believe you're a water source? Are you getting filled up? Are you saying, I want a drink? Have you put away placebo waters? There's many false waters that fill but don't fill at all. One of the things the body of Christ needs to do is it needs to stop asking for false water. It needs to start asking for living water and quit being satisfied with that which does not really fill the soul. It's interesting because the prayer in America is so little. And the average believer prays so little, no wonder there's a drought. No wonder many God-meant sources are producing nothing. Will you let it flow out of you? Have you ever been in a situation and you don't realize how much you've changed, even in a whole household? I've been in situations that I've been able to change one person, where there was multiple people around me. But I've also lived in ways where I was completely blocked and ineffective, no matter what. I want to read Jeremiah 2, 1 through 13. And I believe this really parallels to much of the church today. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It says, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. All who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares the Lord, meaning Israel was God's people. When people attacked it, it didn't work good. But then in verse 4, God takes up this complaint with Israel. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel, thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty? I want to stop there. When we talk about being a wellspring, the body of Christ in this country, I see so many fads go through and they begin to walk after emptiness. And when you walk after emptiness and seek out wells that are no well at all and seek out water that's not from the throne of God, you become empty. This is why passive time that is not used wisely, and there's nothing wrong with relaxing. But when relaxing becomes the most thing you do, we do start to struggle with an emptiness. But so did Israel. They did not say, verse 6, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of deep darkness, through a land that no one crossed and where no man dwelt. I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things, but you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. So, basically, when we get to the place where we start, we don't ask anymore, where's the God of water? Where's the living waters that I want them to flow out of me? We cease to desire. We kind of say, I'm good. It's all good. It feels good. I'm good. I've got saved. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. And God's complaint, as he even delivered Israel through the wilderness and brought them into the promised land, they pursued emptiness while living in the promise of God. The parallel to Christians is so accurate to where they pursue emptiness, hollow programs, things that have a biblical subject matter, but God is not flowing in them at all. And it is important to say, where is the Lord who brought us up? I love it in verse 8, it says, the priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. See, one of the things the devil wants to do in the body of Christ, and I believe he has been extremely successful, is he knows that if you can get a believer to pursue emptiness, if you can get a believer to not attach to the waters under the throne, if you can get a believer to not really realize even how they're designed, if you can get a believer to chase hollow things that temporarily fill but actually can never satisfy, he knows that they become radically ineffective. Verse 9, therefore I will yet contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your sons' sons I will contend. Right before we go into verse 10, I think it's amazing, guys, that when you get into a place of hollow emptiness, God begins to contend with you. Now, I want to say this. Thank God he contended with Israel when they would become empty. Thank God that he would say, I'm going to contend with you because what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing doesn't make sense. And there's a love there from the Lord when he says this. Verse 10, for cross to the coastlands of Kittim and see and send to Kedar and observe closely and see if there has been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. When you think of the glory of the Lord, you're thinking of the throne of the Lord and the very light that shines off it. And glory is often attributed to that which surrounds the very being, the very body of the Lord. How many times we are sons of God and we begin to die like men? How many times we are sons of God and we begin to take up the abominations of the sinner? And we don't even realize it. And we trade the glory of God for the glory of corruptible man. The church knows this well. The Christian knows this well. The Lord says in verse 12, be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. And I love the last part. For my people have committed two evils. God is contending with Israel now. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. The first thing that God says is a great evil that Israel did is they forsook the source of living waters. They kind of disconnected because they were his sons. They were his daughters. They had a license. It was in their DNA. He had made them sons and daughters, and they had disconnected from the fountain of living water and started drinking something else. Now, you are a cistern. You are a wellspring. God has meant you to flow forth as he did Israel. But I want you to look at the second evil. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters. And it says, to hew for themselves cisterns. broken cisterns that can hold the water. Do you realize I've seen Christians build other cisterns because they disconnect from the Father. They disconnect. They don't no longer say, give me a drink. They get into the temporal things of the world and they start, but they also build new cisterns because you are a cistern. But when you get into false water, you can build another cistern for the temporary garbage you're trying to store in there, but it will not hold it. You know what's, we know what's frustrating? If you've ever seen, I'll never forget, I had a pop cup, and I walked out, and I took a sip, and then I took another sip, and I got bubbles. There was nothing in it, and there was a hole, a real little one. It was dripping in the bottom. I looked on the cement outside the restaurant, and I had a puddle of pop. And you can fill that all you want, but it'll continually leak out. And it's funny, because if you see Christians go to other sources to fill the very their core of their being, they then become very frustrated because then they start trying to, they build a new cistern, not for the glory, not for the water under the throne. They build a cistern for all the temporal garbage they throw in there, and it is a cistern with a hole. It can't even hold it. It, number one, cannot hold divine water, and even the garbage they throw in there just leaks out the bottom. Think about this for a minute. And what do we do when we build cisterns that cannot really hold because we have substituted the glory of God for the corruptible glory of man? What happens there, guys? What begins to occur as we begin to do that? Then frustration sets in. And then people become unhappy. There's nothing worse as a believer when you become unhappy when you're supposed to be a source of eternal water. Think about this for a minute. Just I want you to think about this. Where are you at with living waters? What does God want to bring to you right now? I want you to think about this. It goes on in 14. Is Israel a slave or is he a homeborn servant? Why has he become a prey? Verse 20 says, for long ago I broke your yoke and tore off your bonds, but you said, I will not serve. For on every high hill and under every green tree you have lain down as a harlot. Yet I have planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into the degenerate shoots of a foreign vine? Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord. How can you say, I am not defiled, I have not gone after Baals? Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift young camel entangling her ways. A wild donkey accustomed to the wilderness that sniffs the wind in her passion. Translation, in heat. In the time of her heat, who can turn her away? And all who seek her will not become weary. In her month, they will not find her. So Israel does this amazing transference and literally changes the game and gets rid I'd advise you to read chapter 2. It's amazing, the rest of that, as God rebukes Israel and as God deals with Israel. But I cannot expound enough to you that you are to be a river of life. You are to flow out. The time is coming in the body, I believe, in America, where it is going to, there's a shift going on. And I got a word we were worshiping, because many Christians still feel a compulsory duty to God. And many times we think we're doing God more the favor by serving him than the blessing it is to serve him. And I cannot expound enough to you today that I believe God's getting rid of the religious spirit, because many people regard it, you know, it's a hassle to serve the Lord. It's tiring, and I'm sorry, I'm too tired to pray. I'm sorry, I'm too tired to do this. And it's an amazing thing, because we are so privileged to stand in the presence of God Almighty. But how do you see yourself is a question we have to ask. The theoretical versus the true manifestation of you being a source and you being a river. I want you to think about this for a minute, and you're going to be surprised. Now, I want to tell you something. In Pentecostalism, because we're charismatics here, and I thank God for that. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. But the one thing I've noticed that we do so many times as charismatics, like I said, we talk about this a lot, But we also sensationalize it. When I've seen situations changed through the outflow of the water from my well, it always wasn't sensational. The ground wasn't always shaking. It wasn't always immediate. In fact, many times I've seen the heaviest miracles of God did with the lowest fanfare, the lowest attention. In fact, we over celebrate sometimes, you know, work of God, and we kind of write it. You know, a church will have a couple things going good, and it'll just blow it up. But I've seen the most profound miracles of God happen in some of the quietest settings. And the changes were radical. The theoretical view versus the manifestation of real water is always going to be a difference. But the thing is, there is, in so many times, and I'm sure anybody hearing this can relate to it, there can be such a chasing and an emptiness, but we're really not empty. We can many times, you know, have such a bored spirit, and God brings contentment. The one thing that God does, don't be satisfied, but be content. When Paul said, actually, godliness with contentment is very profitable, because it is. And are we content? Is there something, you know, I've seen people where they went into philosophy and even New Age stuff, and they were Christians. Why did they chase a worthless thing and trade the glory of God? Because theoretically they were wells and they were supposed to be source, but the reality of how they were walking, their mindset, they were empty. But they weren't empty. But they believed they were. My prayer is even today, God's going to give you a hunger for that river and it's going to flow. I remember Art Katz talked about the river of life coming from the throne. It comes from under the throne where the Lamb is. And he talked to a lot of Christians. They will step into the stream and it gets to their ankles and they're tickled pink. You know, they got the water up to their ankles, he said. But he said many, if it gets up higher than the ankle, starts hitting their knees, they don't want to be that deep. They were glad they stepped in the water. They were glad it hit their ankle bone. But they don't want to be submerged. They don't want to come in. But one thing that I believe Art Katz said too is, you know, when you see people do that, it's like a touch of God enough to be a little better, but not a submersion, a mikvah, of coming under the water and just saying, my ankles is great, but I'm going to walk in deeper and deeper. But knowing also, as you come into the waters of God, it's a funny thing, even that the baptism of the Spirit, and in this really coincides because you're a river, but remember something, part of being the river is also having that mikvah, that baptism in the Spirit. And when we come in the baptism of the Spirit, we come in the water, in a lot of ways, I would even say, in order to be a river, you know, a cistern, a river, you gotta ask for the drink, but you also have to be willing to be submersed completely, all the way over your head in the Spirit. John 7:37, just write it down. But I want to say something too, though. Oftentimes, manifestations of that river, because what I'm talking about right now, I could read you the gifts in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. I won't, you can read it later. There's a bunch of gifts mentioned, discerning of spirits, tongues, different various effects, faith. Faith, isn't that amazing? But when you're even looking at the manifestation, once again, you're talking about the river coming out of the believer, and where we get it a lot backwards, oftentimes we want to work in things and we want to do this, but if you're a prophetic person, that's who you are. It's not what you do. If you're a healer, that's what you are. It's not what you do. Now you might go say, Pastor Mike, I don't get that, because if I'm a healer, I got to pray for people so they can get healed. And I actually don't disagree with you that if you got healing in you, but it comes out natural. People recognize even a prophetic mantle in my life because as I just lived, I revealed things. I didn't try to say, I got a word from the Lord. I just was the man I am. God puts a gifting on your spirit and it ekes out. I've seen people say they have a gift, and I've seen them even get business cards with the gift on the card, and I'm thinking, it's a pity. Because if you have to tell me about what gift you're talented in, that tells me two things. Either you're really insecure about the gift that God actually put on you, or you don't have it at all. Because if I have to tell you how prophetic I am, then something's missing there. But if my very being, if this is how God has anointed me and that river flows out of me, it's like the river comes out naturally. It's who we are. It's who we are. It happens. We do it whether we're trying or not. And that's okay. And then we also, when the Lord gives us a word, we take that word and we speak it. 7:37, John, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I've seen the river of God, and it is the most incredible thing. You can't almost humanly describe it. The water is alive. It's not just wet. It's alive. It's different than anything you could ever see on this earth. Can you imagine Jesus promising us that he, when we believe, he's going to cause a river of that life? Revelations, remember 22, he showed me the river of life, the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Do you understand that that river right now is running into the earth, and it is running into willing beings, both those that are submersed have become the source of the river. Can you imagine what that, like a lot of people go, I have a person say, if I saw that river, I'd get in it because I would be made well. This is many years ago. I said, well, technically, it's supposed to flow in your being right now. No, he said, I mean, if I really saw it. I said, no, you don't understand. You're really a source of it. It really wants to flow into your being and flow in and flow out. Not if you really saw it. The river, and here's the thing. This temporal zone, you like the floor here, the walls, the paint, it's temporal. This is the ghost zone. This is actually, you know how you see a movie and the dead are like phantom spirits? We're actually the phantom. The permanent eternal realm is running through this realm right now, and it's more solid molecule than this. The science of the eternal is an amazing thing. In fact, our science only studies the phantom realm. We don't really even understand how this, many people don't understand how it exists. There's a realm beyond this realm that is permanent. It doesn't rot. It's eternal. It doesn't age. It doesn't rot. It doesn't wear out. So the river, even right now, is coming from the throne of God, wherever it's located, up, other realm, down, you know, whatever. And it is flowing from under the throne. It's flowing into the earth. It is as real as if you saw it flowing and you could step in it with your feet and feel it. Now, as we close here, get this, and I feel such a strong emphasis to really pound this home to us. The river is literally flowing from the throne into the earth, and it is flowing into the body of Christ, and it desires to flow through every believer born again. It cannot be more literal in your being than it is right now. I hate the pie-in-the-sky stuff that talks about waters. When I get there, it's flowing right now. In fact, when Jesus speaks in John, when we read in Revelations 22:1, when we read in John the Gospel 7:37, the fourth chapter, the woman at the well, it is not figurative what's going on. I want you to grab this. And if you're really thinking, open your spirits right now. It is as literal as it's going to get. It's not going to get more literal. You go, well, when I die, I'm going to go up to heaven and see. The river's in the earth right now, flowing in the earth, flowing in and wants to flow in you, to you, and through you. There is not a pie in the sky tomorrow when it gets better. And if you can't grab it even while you walk in this temporary realm, don't talk about heaven. If you can't grab it today and believe this is what God is doing, this is what God wants to flow in and out of you, don't talk about when you literally see it, because it's literally moving in the earth right now. But here's where the real problem occurs. The children of God love to play games many times. The children of God love to commit idolatry. The children of God many times follow their lust. The children of God many times go to rivers that don't exist to try to drink of a water that is no good for them. And yet the river comes down. And here's the interesting thing. The source where it starts coming out from under the throne of the Lamb and of the Father is endless. It never stops. There is no end. But here's the other thing. In a way, the river of God is an eternal river because it comes from the Father, who is an eternal being that always was and always will be. But right now, it flows into this earth. If you will focus, if you will say, give me a drink, if you will say, Father, I will put down false water, anything else, and I will destroy that false cistern I built. Now, I want to say this as we're closing. We build false cisterns, and they parallel and coincide. We build false cisterns to hold the temporary things while we're living that way. If you're going to take in garbage, you're automatically building a cistern with a hole in the bottom of it, and you're trading the glory of God for something else. But the river's going now, it's right here, it's going down into the body, and it wants to flow through every believer, every believer. I don't care what your giftings are, I don't care what out of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, I don't care which one. Because when we're talking about rivers of life, I brought up gifts, but we're really talking about basic Christian living. You can feel it. If you talk about it enough, I can actually physically feel it right now. It's here. It's in this room. You can't see it, but it's here. You know, the invisible is extremely visible to the heart of the believer if they simply acknowledge, if they simply say, here it is. If they simply will put down whatever they need to. It is not on merit. In fact, when I tell you about getting rid of false cisterns, it's not about works, but there are temporal things that make you dull. I'll be honest, I almost don't have a word for the lull, the numbing of the Christian soul in America, the absolute comatose numbing. If a Christian really believed this, many Christians would be chasing it down. They'd be praying and saying, give me a drink, Father. If a Christian really believed it's in the here and now, the river's going through now, they wouldn't be afraid. They'd be eager to pour out to someone else. They'd be eager to influence the situation. They would be eager because they would have that sense of that running water coming from the throne. There's no water like it. As we close today, there never will be because there's only one river of God. But I want you to think of this literal river right now. And I want you to think about what it is to flow into your being and coming from the place it comes from. In fact, it's interesting. Like I said, I see so many Christians that got this pie in the sky when I get there to heaven mentality, and it's so off. Because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. It's here. Just because you don't see things doesn't mean they're not as real. And I will tell you this right now in closing. The things of this that I'm speaking of in the river of life is more real than everything that is around you. It's more real than your very body, your very cellular structure, the molecule. It's more real. Like I said, we are the phantom life. We're the ghost, not the eternal. And we got it backwards. And I love how the devil conveniently, you know, makes the ghost drum floaty and stuff. But we're the ones that are decaying. We're the ones that are dying. As we close today, let's rise up, guys, and let's just say a word of prayer. And I thank God for this. I thank God for it. I thank God for the river. Don't you? Thank God for that. I pray, and I'm not getting into, you know, if you feel it, it's there. But it is here, guys. You can feel it. You catch it. There's a drift of it, even in the room. I pray any listeners, it's here. Jesus. Lord, as we close today, two can put 10,000 to flight. One can put 1,000. That's amazing. Lord, I love that you said, you know, I'm glad that even one, because that means if I'm stuck by myself, to not be disheartened, to not fear. It means if I'm stuck by myself, even by myself, there's a river flowing out. Right now, Lord, we put before you, and we dare not play a game with this. We put before you cisterns with holes. Mm-hmm. We put before you times that I have traded the glory of God for the corruptible glory of man. It's a horrible thing. Horrible. Horrible. But you are merciful. Lord, I can't think about any stage of my life where your mercy hasn't been exceeding. My best days, my worst days. And we are humbled by it today because you love us. You love us. Lord, the ultimate aim, when these rivers manifest more and more in our lives, it puts the devil to flight. It changes atmospheres. It changes situations. Lord, we know that in time to come, there are those who will be demonic and they will hate the river. They will cast us out of their midst. They'll say, don't be near me. And that's okay, God. But I pray now, bring that river of life manifest to be seen. Lord, I sense it even as we pray, so let our people grab a hold of it. I sense it, and it's amazing what I'm picking up in my spirit right now. Just amazing. But it is a reality that's always there, whether we feel it or not. And we say, Lord, give us a drink. Lord, give us a drink, Lord. Lord, let us pour out. We're not afraid, God. Lord, break the stupid religious etiquette. Break from our bodies and our minds. It is not a hassle to worship you. It is not tiring to hear a sermon when the Spirit of God is moving in that sermon. I pray even today, Lord, bless our listeners at home. We are praying that river. Lord, we're in contact with people and backsliders, and they need water. They do need water. They need water. And we've got a river of life. Lord, I pray it does cause our hearts to kind of accelerate and skip a beat, because it's powerful. It is powerful what we see today. Lord, you told me even when this whole thing started, don't pay attention to the chatter. Stay out of the chatter of the whole virus thing. You told me very importantly that the things in heaven are not paralleling what's going on the earth. The heavens aren't shaking. You are not worried. There is not a strain. You're on your throne. You said, stay out of the minutia of this garbage. Stay out of the fear. You told me very specifically, stay out of it. You said that there is glory you want to pour out on people in intimate settings. There is glory. You said there are so many opportunities in the Spirit right now that it just would be hard to even comprehend. And we believe that today. And Lord, we know people are struggling, and we are mindful of those around us, and we are mindful of family members that are dealing with issues. And we absolutely pray protection, God.
Yes, God.
Still the seas. We're believing today, and Lord, even from being a little boy, there was only one thing that could fill me, and it is you. I chased, I exhausted in my life, I risked my life for cheap thrills, absolutely. But I remember the day that I tapped the river, first time. I never felt contentment, I never felt peace. So as we go today, we want to drink. You said, you know, come to me, ask for the drink. We want to walk, manifest this water, God, manifest it. As the pride of man gets brought low a little bit during these kind of seasons we're in, remind man he is fragile. And outside of you, he's extremely mortal. Remind man there is one river, one source. There isn't two rivers. There's only one. But it flows into the earth. I'm excited about it. And I think we should know it, talk about it, believe it far more than we do. That's part of why we share these things, to give light to an area. But Lord, let me chase the river and fill the parts that only the river can fill. Lord, I don't want to, you know, pollute my being. And I don't want to take temporal things and try to put them in where only the river and the eternal river can flow. Bless our listeners. Everybody that isn't here, bless them. Lord, I pray that even being around this morning there, and we'll send the recording out to others, that they will be blessed. They will be blessed. They will be touched. This sermon will, it'll grab something in their spirit. And it will, with power, transform them. Your blessings as we go today, God, we are grateful. And again, we declare you are our refuge in a very present time of trouble. You are a refuge. We will not fear. What can man do to me? We fear you alone today. We declare your faithfulness today. Move in us in the name of Jesus. And last thing, Lord, we are sources, but we also are going to have other sources pour into us. But the greatest thing is when we understand we're a source, and then when others pour, we're able to grab a hold of what they're pouring because we're pouring as well. It's like a rhythm and a unison that we need to walk in to receive from each other to the highest degree, God. To the highest degree, God. Shed the doubt. Shed the disbelief. Wipe it out, God. And bless us as we go today. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen, everybody.